The Cap and J-Hood podcast is sponsored by Tito's Handmade Vodka. Check out the ESPN Chicago Games, sponsored by Tito's Handmade Vodka at ESPNChicagoGames.com. Watch us compete against each other, share memories and laughs, all for charity. Tito's Handmade Vodka celebrates 25 years. Cheers to you, Chicago!
You don't have to wait till you're in your car to hear what Cap and J-Hood are talking about. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Can I kick it? Kick it.
Cap and J-Hood, morning 7 to 10 here on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. We hope that you have a great Thursday. We got Deal Breakers coming up at 8:35. Cap, sidebar, may I approach?
Yes, sir. Brought to you by Ankin Law, 3126 million for the great Howard Ankin. Put that lawyer in your phone when you need him.
Sorry, my ball. Your Honor, I'd like to be able to give you Exhibit A, if you may allow me to. Exhibit A.
We'll enter that as evidence.
Okay. Your Honor, we have a man that stands outside of our old National Bank studios.
Yes.
Every morning.
Every day.
Rain or shine.
5 days a week. 52 weeks a year, or every week that I'm here, other than vacation.
Yes. That's what he takes off, by the way.
Right.
Cap's not here. I'll be back.
I'm out. He was here last week when you were on vacay.
He stands out here every morning. The reason why we bring him up is because Cap and I were talking during the break that, you know, listen, one thing Cap and I, we have a lot of things in common, but also we have a heart for people.
We do.
You and I both have that in common. We like to be able to take care of people as much as we can. And so our guy that stands out here, he stands out here, again, rain or shine, snow, he's just standing there. But I noticed, Cap, that I don't know if he's homeless. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he's just going from house to house, being able to stay someplace warm. But I'm standing there watching him while you do your status and snoring, and he's got his iPhone out.
Right.
Now, he's not dressed well. I mean, he's dressed okay. How would you describe his dress? It's not ratty, necessarily, 100%.
No, it's not.
Yeah.
He's got and it's always a different outfit. Like, he's got clothes.
Yes.
The hat's a little ratty. But
yes.
Other than the hat,
mm-hmm.
like, he's always makes a nice appearance.
Mm-hmm.
He always has a large blunt that he rolls up and smokes.
Well, that's all right. He's a slow smoker, too, by the way.
He is.
He likes to savor.
He does.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it'll last the whole three-hour show.
Three-hour blunt.
Right.
A three-hour blunt.
Right. And then he has a coffee, usually.
Mm-hmm.
And he stands right here and listens.
Hmm.
He'll dance a little bit in front of us.
Yes.
But he looks like an affable, nice gentleman.
I understand, Cap, but I mean,
probably what, 40?
Maybe 40, but then, you know, the pants sometimes is not great. I don't know if he's working a 9-to-5. I just think it's fascinating that those that come across as less than, or meaning like, I don't have a job, or I'm trying to make ends meet, he's got the best iPhone. He's got a better iPhone than me.
Right.
How'd that happen, Cap?
I would like to know.
Want to bring him in?
I find that fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, what's your deal? Like, you're here every day.
Yes.
Honey, I'm off to work. What do you do? I stand and listen to Cap'n J-Hood.
Yes.
And then when we're done, he leaves.
But why is it that he has better shoes than me? That's the thing. Now, you've seen this, Shay, over the years, right? Someone that says, hey, can I get that dollar? You know, can I borrow some money? But yeah, but you're asking me why you're still holding the latest iPhone.
Right.
And Yeezys.
Dude,
I try not to judge because I never know what anybody's situation is, how they might have a phone. There's things that can happen. But, yes, I always find it a little irritating if somebody's panhandling and they're, like, on Twitter at the same time.
Shay, one of the guys actually offered to buy Hoodie a Starbucks one day. Like a week later, can I get some money to get some breakfast? Wait a minute. You were at Starbucks the other day with your iPhone.
That is true.
Right?
He's just down bad that morning. It happens.
Yeah. I mean, I said, hey, man, what are you doing here? He's like, I said, Starbucks? I just wanted something different. Oh, I see. How about that, JC? A little bit. He just wanted a little something different. Like, if I'm down on my luck, I'm trying to get the, you know, cheapest coffee. Go to Dunkin'.
Right.
Or some place like that.
Correct.
7-Eleven. No, he's like, I mean, all this a big elaborate type of he may have a half calf soy lot Excuse me?
Right.
Didn't you just ask me for a dollar, but you're buying a $10 coffee?
Right.
Excuse me?
Yeah, could I get a venti, half calf, use the coconut milk? Yeah, I'm like, hold on.
Listen, you like what you like, right? But just the idea that, hey, man, you're asking me for a dollar, but yet you got a $10 coffee here. I mean, why don't you just get a 7-Eleven? It's just the same thing. Just put a couple of equals in it. It'll be the same.
Like we got the one guy.
It's not the same. No, it's not the same. I got to be honest. 7-Eleven coffee is not the same.
I mean, you could
respectfully to 7-Eleven establishment.
Oh, you could doctor it up, for God's sake. It'll be close to it.
Since I've been on soda, I have a ton of clothes that are just like huge on me.
Yeah.
So I bagged them up and I brought them to one of the guys here. Mm-hmm. Hey, man, do you want these clothes? They're like some awesome stuff.
Yeah.
He walked by here. He looked like he was Tiger Woods. I gave him two Masters golf shirts.
I saw
a vest.
Yeah, I saw him.
I got him shoes. He's walking down the street like doing like me.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what time's your tea time?
It's Black Cap.
It was unbelievable.
It really was. Can't you? Have you seen this guy? You know, you're usually
in
the evening.
Yeah, I have, yeah.
Okay, so, but I mean, he looks like, you know, Coach Daryl Drake. He's like a Clemson coach.
The Clemson hoodie that I loved that is two sizes too big.
Yeah.
Yeah. He walked by, I'm like, Black Dabo Swinney.
Yes, pretty much.
I mean, he had all of it.
He was clean.
I think he's here on the weekends, too, on a Saturday morning. So I can assure you it's the same thing.
I'm just saying, like, I'm not looking down on anyone. All I'm saying is that I'm just wondering the background of the people that we see from time to time. That's all.
Right.
But being in the Starbucks line next to me and then asking me, can I get 50 cents? Like, hey,
Like our one guy out here?
Yeah.
He's got some awesome diamond earring in.
Yes.
Awesome. Like, it's good size, like one of the athletes wear.
I just like to know the story. That's all.
The backstory.
Yeah, that's all. 312-332-3776 is our phone number. Wow. Are you standing in the same Starbucks line with me? Just get the 7-Eleven.
It's cheaper.
It just, you know, you keep $5.
He offered to buy you a coffee. All right, let me get you one.
No, thank you, sir.
I'm good.
Do you need to see the defense get better? Do you need to see the defense show signs of development against Detroit? We're going to get your thoughts on that here. 312-332-3776. And the reason why we start this way is because Matt Eberflus talked about the defense. This is his expertise. And then we know that the Bears are bereft of quality pass rushing talent because they traded it away or they let it walk, and we totally understand that. But, Cap, just like we talk about Justin Fields, his development, I want to see the development of Brisker and Gordon as well. I mean, they got worked Sunday. They've been getting worked. And it's quite an education for them against top-notch, top-flight wide receivers.
Because Tua had all day.
Mm-hmm.
They have the ability to run the football a little bit. Tua is not elusive. Jared Goff certainly not an elusive runner like we've got.
Man.
But, man, Tyreek Hill,
mm-hmm.
if he runs an out and up, you're like, oh, God. And that just allows Tua to go back, process, I'll go to Gesicki here. I'll go to Jalen Waddle there. I'll go to Tyreek here. And now you've got to deal with a Lions team that has a really good offensive line, has the ability to run the football. I just don't know if they can put enough points on the board.
All right, let's go to the phone lines to talk to you. We'll start off first in Frankfurt. Here's Mike on ESPN 1000 with Captain Jay Hood. Good morning, Mike.
Hi, good morning, Jay Hood. How are you today?
We're fine, thank you.
Okay, I was at the game on Sunday, and the thing that was really, really apparent was how quick the defense was letting Miami score. That was the thing. I mean, the last two games, Cowboys and Miami. I mean, we had great times of possession. You think you'd wear their defense down? Not the case. Our defense was just letting them go crazy.
Hey,
that was the thing.
I just want to see three and out so I can see more Justin. That's what I want to see.
Yeah,
I want some stops.
With you on that.
Yeah.
With you on that, he was amazing on Sunday.
Yeah, but you're right. The Dolphin or the Dallas game, I think it was 14-0. They threw the ball down the field, touched. At first, they came out running with Pollard because Ezekiel was out.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-oh. They're running the ball. We're in trouble. And then the next possession, they threw the ball, and they hit CeeDee Lamb for a touchdown. They were beating us every which way. scoring, and they got 49 points. I just don't know what's fair to expect, Mikey.
Yeah, I tell you, the thing that really was unbelievable was, you know, when they went down 10 points, I told my buddies, I says, the game is not over. It's just going to be very, very difficult. When they're down 10, 12 points, you know, with Justin, you're never out of the game. That's what I'm starting to see, and I love it.
All right, my friend. We're glad you checked in. Appreciate your phone call. And now Healy's line open, 312-332-3776. Southwest side, here's Justin on ESPN 1000.
What's up, Justin?
Justin?
Hey, Hoodie, Cap, I hope everything is good. I'm going to just make it simple. The last three games.
Hold on. You know, hold on a second.
What happened to Dallas?
You must identify as Justin from Dallas, man. Don't do that. Don't
Come
do
on.
That.
Hoodie.
You're in town?
I don't even think I need to elaborate. You all know exactly where I'm from. So I'll just let that be. Anyway. I feel like that the defense does need to step up, okay? So to me, this is a make-it-or-break-it game. It's the Lions. We should be able to get over the top this game. The last three games, we scored. The offense was looking crazy, but we lost. The defense, this is a make-it-or-break-it game, just in my opinion. Again, Justin Fields is looking immaculate. He's looking good. And this is coming from me because, you know, I was critical of him at first.
Yeah, no blank.
Yeah, hey, come on, Cap. Cap, okay, I don't understand. Like, I just don't want to lose. Okay, but, I don't know how many times I have to keep saying that.
But Justin,
I don't want to lose, and okay, you all shouldn't want to lose either.
I don't want to lose, but you got to understand something. And again, I learned you fan how you want to fan, but I think you take a more micro look. I'm trying for me, not for anybody else, to have more of a macro look. I get pissed off when they lose like you do. Absolutely. But I think you, Justin, we've met, you've been down here, we took pictures together. Like, you're a diehard, man. You are into this for all our Chicago teams. You are the guy who I believe gets caught up in the minutiae of a win or a loss in a season where we're going nowhere. It doesn't really matter. I just want more talent here. Is that fair?
That's fair, Cap. Hoodie, that's fair. I can't argue with that. At the end of the day, I want the common denominator is wins, and you all said the development of Justin Fields. He's looking good. I just feel like this game, hopefully, we can go over the top and we get the win. That's all I want. That's all I want. I appreciate y'all taking my call. Also, Cap, I saw you last night on your show. You and McGuffey were talking about the White Sox. Hoodie, I'm disappointed that Rick Hines not doing nothing, but that's another story for another day. I appreciate y'all taking my call.
We appreciate you, Justin. You're the best.
Justin, thanks for the phone call. And coming up next, the Bulls fell short against the Pelicans. Why did that happen? We discuss it. Coming up next, you're in the right spot. It's Cap and Jay Hood, morning 7 to 10.
Cap and Jay Hood, mornings.
ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
Cap and Jay Hood, morning 7 to 10 here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. And by the way, Cap, we have Deal Breakers, and it's got a brand new sponsor, brand new partner.
SEO Level Up. My guys, Tommy and Bob, that is search engine optimization. For those of you out there, you need to get your company on the front page on Google at the top. These dudes are the best. I've worked with them on YouTube. They're amazing. Amazing.
Here's Shay Norling. Shay?
All right, boys.
By the way, Shay, Sam Frasco, who I like to call king of security around here, just said, I got your back. Whatever you need.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
Tell Hoodie's killing me.
There you go, Cap. Now you're fire away. You can have that threesome.
Rock and roll.
Oh, for God's sakes. Check. I don't want to know that. Go ahead.
All right, boys. You and your wife have been married for 15 years and recently celebrated your child's 10th birthday. Mm-hmm. One night, she tells you she has to come clean about something. She says 10 years ago, she slept with someone else and she's actually not sure the child is yours. After a paternity test, you find out it's not your kid. Do you stay with the family and your wife and the child, or do you leave?
I stick around.
Okay. Wow. That one.
That's a lot.
That's a lot. Mm-hmm. Read it again.
You've been married 15 years. You celebrated your child's 10th birthday, but your wife tells you one night she's got to come clean about something. She slept with someone else 10 years ago, and she's not sure the child is yours. So you get a paternity test. It's not your kid. Are you staying or are you out?
Have we had a good marriage since then? And is like...
Yeah, no issues.
No issues, and we raised the child. We have a great family.
Yeah.
I'm staying.
I'm staying as well. This is kind of reminiscent a little bit to American Gigolo that's out on Showtime now. Kind of same scenario. Guy's been taking care of what he thought was his son for a long time, and come to find out that it's not really his son. But he's still sticking around. He's not going anywhere. He's well-to-do. He's got a wife he loves. So he sticks around. So I would say I'm sticking around. Now, the relationship I have with my wife...
That's a different story. There's going to be some issues there.
I'm getting the kind of probably the bedroom off to the side.
Staying in the house?
Yeah, of course.
So you're blowing up the marriage then?
It's not me blowing it up. She blew it up, pal.
But it happened 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Okay, here's my question. What took her 10 years to come clean?
Guilt, probably.
Guilt.
Like, has she been going through therapy and now she says... Okay, I've got to tell you this. It's been driving me insane for 10 years. I'm not sure that actually you're the biological father. It was a mistake. We've had a great... Like, have I suspected she's been cheating for 10 years or...
Just a one-off.
It was a one-off.
Yeah.
I would...
That's just based on the story
you told
us.
I would not want to affect...
Correct. One-off.
Affect my child's life.
Right.
My wife and I would have to probably go through some... intensive stuff.
In the meantime,
but I would not want to affect my kid.
But in the meantime, and in between time, I'm in the guest room.
No, because that your kid's going to know what's going on.
Well, I would say,
well, actually, he's not your dad. What?
I have sleep apnea, so I have to go to the next room. That's why I'm going through sinus and snoring right now,
right.
And so that's why, for medical reasons, son. That's why I'm doing this.
Like, I would not want to ever affect my child. I want them to grow up. Everything's been great. The kid's 10 years old. He's well-adjusted, or she. I am not blowing up their life. I can't.
That's the root of the issue, because at some point, whether you're the biological father or not, you do become the dad.
Correct.
You're the only father figure in this kid's life. It's not their fault.
When do you tell the kid? Do you ever tell the kid? Is it there's a lot of deep family secrets, deep rooted family secrets. You know this, right?
Correct.
That you don't know that you'll never come out.
Like, I would probably need some professional guidance how to do it. But when the kid was, you know, before the kid got married, like the kid's seriously involved with someone and going to get married. So they're in their mid-20s, 30, whatever. Yeah. I would probably, as the mom, say, you need to know something. Your father is not actually your biological father. You need to know that what your medical records are, because there could be things in your history. I don't think I would share that I cheated on your dad. I don't think I would ever share that.
That, Cap, you bring a great point into that, because my take on it initially was, why tell them? 30 years have gone by. They've lived a happy life. Why shatter the illusion?
Because they need
but
to
the
know
medical
their medical
records.
That's
a good point.
The medical records are
like
good.
If you find out, oh God, I've got in my background, there's an 80% chance I'm passing something, some gene on.
Yeah.
They have a right to know that.
Scurvy. Rickets. Something like that.
Tom.
Yep.
Whatever it is. Mm-hmm. So yes, I would probably ask for some professional guidance. My wife and I would work through our things. Privately, I'm not moving into another room, but I would probably never tell the kid, yeah, mom, you know, got hooked up with some dude one night, and that's actually your father. We have no idea who he is or where he is.
Well, if I'm not moving in a different room, then I'm definitely got my mountain of pillows between us.
Probably right.
You're never getting any of this again.
Sammy,
she's never getting any more of this. Go home.
Yeah. Bring the other one in.
How about that? That's how that works for me.
Yeah. Che, you got one more?
Well, actually, I have an impromptu deal breaker. I haven't written this one out, but someone in the building gave it to us, and you both heard it. I don't know if we're cleared to say who this person was, so I'll just say someone in the building mentioned they will be going to see a doctor for the first time in 4 years. They're getting a physical today.
Mm-hmm.
And the doctor is a woman, and that has been a point of contention in their life.
Well, he said we could use it. No, just don't.
In his life. It's been a point of contention in his life that he's going to see a woman doctor for the physical.
So what?
And what's in the deal breaker question is?
I'm trying to think of how to phrase it. If your wife came to you and said, I'm seeing a new doctor, I'm getting a physical, it's a man. Would you even think twice? I wouldn't even think twice
about it. My wife goes to a man. Oh. My sister-in-law, Wendy, is an awesome doctor. She's an internist.
Yeah.
I've got friends who are patients of hers.
Mm-hmm.
Wendy's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So what? Going to see a woman, who cares?
Right, I've always had a woman doctor. I find it actually kind of wild that somebody would go up to you and say, you're seeing a woman? Who cares? Why is that your business, one?
My doctor was, I had a female doctor all the way up to the last 4 years. Dr. Ulstrup in Northwestern. And now I've switched over to a guy now who listens to the show. So a doctor now. But I had a woman for a long time. As a doctor.
Yeah, my doctor's a man, but I have no issues whether it's a man, a woman. Yeah.
Gender should not matter as long as they know what they're doing, right? Does it matter?
They're professionals.
Yeah.
They're not looking at you going, oh, God, lock the door. Let's get it out. No. They're pros. It's what they do.
Well, for me, I think the age matter. I had a 7-year-old guy at first.
And then 70-year-old
guy.
7-year? What is
7-year-old. Like, 7-year-old guy at first, and then I switched to a female doctor.
Yeah.
And the guy was just, he was just too cold on his, doctors really have cold hands, but too cold, too, I don't know, weird grip, I don't know.
Yeah, I understand. His hands were cold because of the circulation, not the way it's supposed to be. Let's take a look at the balls.
I mean, yeah. You can't have a doctor with cold hands fondling your junk, Cody.
Too cold.
Cap, keep that in mind. Make sure your hands stay warm.
Cold and clammy hands. Now cough. Now cough.
Wow.
Sammy, the doctor's checking underneath here. It's okay.
We're all good.
Sammy's just there for every situation. He's always outside your door.
If I ever won the lottery, I'm hiring Sammy. Sammy's just going to be with me at all times.
So I understand, Jake. You want a younger woman fondling and checking underneath, right?
I didn't say that.
What would you
want the undercarriage?
I just wouldn't prefer the older 7-year-old wrinkly.
24 or younger, blonde.
Yeah, works part time at Crazy Horse.
And a weird grip.
Matt Eberflus and Justin Fields spoke about the offensive adjustments yesterday. How will that affect their game against the Lions? We talk about it in 2 minutes on Cap and Jay Hood. Sammy.
You don't have to wait till you're in your car to hear what Cap and Jay Hood are talking about. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Good morning and welcome into the Cap and Jay Hood Morning Show here on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app with David Kaplan and Jonathan Hood with you. Good morning, Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. Thanks so much for keeping the conversation going. You can watch our show on Twitch brought to you by DraftKings. So, Cap, we are getting ready for the Bears and the Lions on Sunday. And really, I think you and I have said this, and I think a lot of our listeners have said this as well, and our callers, talking about how this Bears season is really about the development of Justin Fields in this offense, and actually we're getting more than what we thought. But there's another side to it as well, Cap. Like, the last three games, even though the Bears lost 2 out of 3, there's another side to it. Mm-hmm. Like, for instance, the Bears rank last in the league in passing yards, averaging 125.7 per game.
Yep.
This week, 116 passing yards, they had the fourth fewest in the league in any game. So there's something to be said there. But again, there is a negative side to that. The positive side is that one of the best things that Fields is doing is avoiding turnovers. We documented this on Monday, that he had no turnovers on Sunday and has a streak of 3 straight games without interception or fumble. I'll take that, because right now when you see that, even though you're losing 2 out of 3, you're seeing Fields is taking care of the football. That's, again, growth at the position.
completely agree. And I said earlier that the running back room has not been as good as maybe we have thought at times. Last week, they ran for, I think Khalil Herbert ran for, what was it, like 23 yards on 7 carries. David Montgomery, I think, had 36 on 14 carries. That's not great productivity, and Miami's not elite against the run. So I find that a little concerning. But Justin has more than picked up the slack because he is so dangerous. And so Dan Campbell just spoke. I was just reading his stuff at the break. He said the key to beating the Bears, you got to stop the run game up front with Montgomery and Herbert. If we can do that, it allows you then to do other things. If they're gashing you for 5 yards a carry, that's a different story. Last week, I think Herbert was 2.3 and Montgomery was in the ones. That is a huge weapon. You got to establish the run and then set up Justin to crush you.
Okay, so in that maturity and that growth at the position, do you think that we will see a game in which Justin Fields runs for, say, 30 or 40 yards and is able to get the ball down the field and beat a team with his arm? Because that's, listen, I think that him running the football the way he did, especially the last couple of games, is great. But again, the other level has to come up as well. One of the things that people criticize Lamar Jackson for is, man, he can run. And man, he does have a hell of an arm, but sometimes it's not accurate. And that, now he's been in it for a while. He's not just some rookie quarterback. So in that growth spurt for Justin Fields, the running's there. He does have a strong arm. Now it's being able to get the ball down the field and beat someone. I think that he could do that at some point.
The problem is that every time they've tried to drop him back in the pocket, process, go through, he gets harassed at almost 50% of the time.
Holds the ball too long, too, at times.
Well, because there's nobody open.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
You know?
Have you seen All 22 yet?
I have not watched the All 22 from the Dolphins game yet.
Okay.
I have not. That's on today's agenda up at TV.
Yeah.
So can they put him in the pocket and have him step back there occasionally? Yeah. If you're going to get into a throwing game and he is going to be back there throwing 35 passes, you're in trouble.
Yes. But the hope is that next year, next couple years, that he doesn't have to run for 178 yards and break records. Now, the only guy he can depend on right now is Darnell Mooney. And Cole Kmet is right there as a close second as far as he had a couple touchdowns. Give him credit. There was a package of plays for Kmet that I really liked. That got him more involved in the offense. But then after that, what does Claypool bring? Claypool was targeted 6 times, 2 receptions, good for 13 yards. I like to see that raise a little bit here against the Lions.
Completely agree. Get him more involved as he continues to learn the playbook. We just don't have a lot of guys that get a lot of separation. Yeah. That's why it's got to be off play action. Establish the run with the two backs. Use Justin on design quarterback roles. Let him make plays with his feet when he's pressured. And then be able to throw on the run. That's the key.
Some thoughts here from House Hall yesterday with the Bears and Matt Eberflus. Eberflus talking about, he's talking about the success in leaving the pocket.
Like I said, it's just pocket presence. You know, him knowing the reads, him going through his reads, him delivering the ball, him feeling comfortable to be able to understand that, hey, he'll be able to ride the pocket, step up and deliver it. And again, that's a learned skill. He's got to be able to go through that process of that. And he's had some times where guys were running off the corner, and, you know, he's been able to evade that too. You know, so he's pretty special that way.
Lions coach Dan Campbell on Justin Fields.
He's, they're doing a really good job with him. You know, I haven't gotten through all of it yet, but I've watched a little bit, and they're doing a heck of a job. Just, you know, they built it around his strengths and what he's able to do. And we all know he's a hell of an athlete, and he can hurt you with his legs and his arm. So it'll be a big test.
Saw this from Dan Campbell, the Lions coach.
Right. He's right. Because if you establish the run with your running backs, oh boy, guys, they're gashing us for 4.5, 5 yards a clip here. Now it makes Justin a very, very dangerous person.
Justin Fields talking about Getsy calling the offense for Fields and talking about the strengths of that.
Yeah, I mean, of course, he's done a great job, you know, these past few weeks. You know, like Coach said, ever since the mini bye week, you know, he's done a great job, you know, tailoring, you know, our offense to my strengths, to the other players' strengths. So, you know, of course, as much as we can do that, you know, as we want to do it as much as possible. So, you know, the more we can do it, the more successful our offense will be. Yeah, just don't let it affect me. You know, just go about my day like I, you know, would before all of this, you know, hype came or so to call hype. You know, just put my head down, keep working, and, you know, my main goal is to, you know, keep improving and keep getting better each and every day.
Can we go back to something Phil said earlier? Mm-hmm. And I want to point out to you, Shea, you tell me, because this is something Cap and I talked about a couple days ago regarding Justin Fields' strengths. Listen.
Yeah, I mean, of course, he's done a great job, you know, these past few weeks. You know, like Coach said, ever since the mini bye week, you know, he's done a great job, you know, tailoring, you know, our offense to my strengths, to the other players' strengths.
So our offense to my strengths. Now, here's where I'm going with this. Cap, you said a couple days ago that when we saw him at Ohio State, that he was not necessarily this quarterback that would run all over the field. He was a guy that had pocket presence.
He did.
Of course, he had an iron fence in front of him, so he didn't have to run all over the place.
He had five stars all over the O-line. He had Chris Olave. He had Garrett Wilson. He had Jackson Smith and Jigba. He had Jeremy Rukert. Those are all NFL-level guys.
By the way, he was handing the ball to J.K. Dobbins. So yeah. It was a great pretty good
game.
Team.
Yeah, it's a pretty great running game as well. But interesting that he just said that, right? Tailored to my strengths.
Correct.
So before he became a Bear, when he was drafted, mm-hmm. his strength would be, well, first of all, leadership, because I saw that. Mm-hmm. Saw that at Georgia, and I saw that at Ohio State. The leadership was there.
Big arm,
strong arm to get it down the field.
Fast.
Can be able to move around the pocket, but I didn't see, obviously, rushing numbers like this. So is he recognizing, especially the first four or five games of the season, he wasn't doing this because he was chained to the pocket. He says his strengths. I think running the football, he realizes that I've got to be able to do this. And I guess I'm just wondering, will this be a habit for him? Like, is this who he's going to be, Shea?
No. Going forward?
Yeah. After the season?
No. I don't think it's sustainable. I do not think it's sustainable to have him running for 150 yards a week. I don't believe that.
What we're seeing right now is not – he's effectively a running back right now. I mean, he's a running back that throws the ball. Not that there's anything wrong with that. Mm-hmm. It's allowing him to develop and realize how talented and how athletic he is. I don't think he's ever going to be chained in the pocket again, but I don't think he's going to be this forever. I think in the future we're going to see kind of the – Josh Allen, Jalen Hurts deal where, yeah, we can do RPOs now because we have a running quarterback who can really be effective with his legs. But they're going to still, I imagine, prioritize the pass.
I just think I'm glad he said it out loud. And actually, it's funny, Cap, as the season progresses, the sound bites that are given to us, that are brought into the station, they're longer now than they have been before. Remember, these used to be 6 seconds, 5 seconds?
Yeah.
Pissed off. Indifferent to the media. Now a little bit more comfortable in saying, okay, I'm starting to get to what I, you know, get what I want as a quarterback. And so now he's a little bit more open to talking about.
Well,
he's
having
needs.
Some success. A.
Yeah. Well,
but
yeah.
He's not getting crushed to the degree that he was.
Yeah.
I mean, he was dropping back and just getting a living H beaten out of him.
Mm-hmm.
If you get into a game and you look up and go, oh boy, we're 21 down.
Yeah.
I mean, He has the ability. I don't mean he doesn't. Currently, the way they're constructed, you cannot have him drop back 40 times. Remember Nagy would have Mitch throw 40-some passes?
Because Nagy did that in the Arena League.
Game over. Can't do it.
That's right. That's
Mitch
right.
wasn't that good, and we didn't have enough talent, and the game plan stunk.
Mm-hmm.
Remember the Cleveland game?
Yeah. Never forget that. Never
Justin
forget
almost
it.
Died last year.
Yeah. Never forget that. It was the team was not prepared for Justin Fields, and Fields was not prepared to be out there to be able to help the Bears win. Either way, no offensive lineman, no one in there to chip. It was awful.
Agreed.
Against the Browns.
Agreed.
So how refreshing is it for Fields to admit that he's finding his strengths? Let's get your thoughts on some of the things that Justin Fields and Matt Eberflus mentioned about the Bears offense. 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776. Jump in on our conversation about the Bears and Justin Fields on Cap and J-Hood.